When it comes to making a little go a long way, my next guest is an absolute superstar in the field. She's now known as an author. Her name is Penina Petersen. When Penina Petersen said that she could cook her dinner and serve it for a family of four at $1.50 a serve at the release of her book earlier this year, well, there were some doubters. There were some doubters in the audience. They let her know they didn't think that was possible. Penina, you doubled down. You went back to your calculations. What did you discover?
I did a lot of calculations. I've got a big calculator. I've spent a lot of time with my calculator. I've taken photos of it. People have taken photos of it. Look, I have spent 2 months in my house, at my desk, in my kitchen, with that calculator. Calculating if it was possible to not only do dinners but also do breakfasts, lunches, snacks and desserts all within the $1.50 price.
What did you find out?
I did not think it was possible. I did not think it would be possible. And I even said to my husband, I don't think this is possible, but let's give it a crack. Let's have a go. So I did a grocery shop, a huge grocery shop, pulled out my best culinary skills as the basic home cook mum that I am, and the calculator, of course. Then I even, with my little IT background, wrote myself a little program.
You had a little spreadsheet there too,
didn't
you?
I had a little spreadsheet, and then I turned it into something a little bit more than a spreadsheet. And look, it's such a simple book when you look at it at the end of that process.
What did you find out?
I found out it was possible.
And not only possible, but
it's now
even less.
Yeah, now the dinners are $1. This is the thing that bothered me. Dinners are now $1.02. And I said to my husband,
did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? $1.02 a serving per meal.
And I said to my husband, I am so upset about that 2 cents.
On Afternoons, this is Tight A Tuesday, where we teach you some life skills that will help you bring the cost down in your life without undercutting the quality. Penina, I don't know if what you're going to teach us today is possible for all people, but before we get into the learning bit, I need to know why it's possible for you. How did you become such a thrifty shopper and cooker? What happened?
It's quite a long story, so I'll try and keep it short. Pretty much, my husband and I found ourselves in debt in Melbourne about in 2004. We were $50,000 in debt.
The good old debt club.
God love the debt club. Mm. And so we were young, we were having the time of our lives, and we were like, we're not going to get out of this debt. This is just something that's hanging over our heads, and it's not going to be easy to get out of this. We wanted to buy a house, we wanted to have kids. So to cut a long story short, we packed our whole flat that we were living in at the time into a van. Richard is a tradie, so we packed our entire house. We had a garage sale, packed our house into a van, and drove across Nullarbor. And got married on the way, and then went and lived in a mining town for a year.
Well, that's one way to cut costs. You
know, well, yeah.
A, get married in the outback, and B, live in the outback.
Exactly. And look, we've had a lot of people go, oh, well, mining, of course, that's going to get you out of debt. And I'm like, well, yeah, but, you know, what we did do was take that big fat folder of bills and sit still for 1 year.
As a lot of FIFOs know, as a lot of supermodels will know, it's very easy to make quite a bit of money and spend quite a bit of money as well in accommodating that lifestyle.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite hard to save, even as a FIFO.
Yeah, yeah. But also, I think, like, when the wages weren't that extraordinary back then, it was actually more, the lesson was, it was what we weren't spending. In the city, we were spending. We were, like, going out every weekend. Mm-hmm. We were going to the beautiful nightlife in Melbourne, having a good time, you know.
Living it up
in the city.
Living it up in
We were doing that. And so, and so in Kambalda, which was 60 kilometres out of Kalgoorlie, all there was a supermarket, and that was it, and maybe a milk bar.
So is that where you, that is where you learnt to save?
Yes.
At that. So that was 2004.
Yes.
You came back to Melbourne, but most people drop, you know, the skills that they've learnt out there in the pre-family world when it comes to having a family. Things get really out of control. You know, I'm that mother who goes to the supermarket with 2 items on my list and comes out with 42, you know, and has put it on the credit card yet again.
Yes.
So is this something that you see happening to a lot of families?
Absolutely. Like, I used to do experiments. We actually went from Kalgoorlie to live in Stawell in country Victoria for 3 years. So we went to country for 3 years after that. And I used to do little experiments when I was writing my first book. Mm-hmm. And I'd go into the supermarket and try not to spend. And that was my experiment.
Yeah.
And I failed so many times because supermarket marketing is insane. It's so it's so strong that it's very difficult for consumers to go in, and that's not uncommon. What you do is to buy the extra 42 items.
I get some hope, Panina, when I look at your website. It's called savingsroom.com.au. It's almost overwhelming with the amount of tips and tricks that you have to help us, you know, save money not only on shopping itself, but shopping for specific items or creating certain meals. What are some of your top money-saving tips? If we could narrow it down and give a few to our audience who are listening, like, where do we begin?
Oh, it's so hard because there's 40,000 tips on that side.
There are. It's huge.
Look, in terms, since we're on the grocery topic, yeah, and the dinner topic, look, I think the my biggest tip would be, firstly, look, I have a goal to become a no food waste human.
Oh, good goal to have.
And I still give my kids that little scent, that little speech at dinner, the starving children speech. And I know that is like...
it's become less popular in time, but it's
less,
still effective.
I know, huh? But I know. And I still give that little speech and I say, you need to finish your dinner. We are not wasting food in this house. Mm-hmm. I hate throwing food away. It makes me feel so guilty and terrible.
What are some of the things that you're eating and serving up at that dinner table?
We're serving up really typical Aussie tucker, so spaghetti bolognese, yep. We're having shepherd's pie, yum. We're having chicken vegetable pie, we're having we're having stir fries on a Friday or Saturday night because they're cook fresh nights.
One of your tips, I'll just ask you to dig down on that, so you have cook fresh nights Friday and Saturday. The rest of the week you suggest that we...
We're cooking in bulk, so we're putting together freezer meals for the entire month. Mm. And in that process, we're putting them all in the freezer, packing them up on one weekend a month, putting them all in the freezer. And then we're just on weeknights when you're busy and when you're coming home from business or work and stressed, you pull that little shepherd's pie out of the freezer straight into the oven.
Away we go.
Well, we're saving like an hour a night. No washing up dishes, no cooking, no standing there. So the feedback that I'm getting from readers, they don't get it until they've actually finished the cooking. And they're sitting on the couch and they're relaxing instead of standing over a pan on a Tuesday night,
yes,
after a long day.
I mean, who needs it?
Who needs it?
So, Panina, you had us in the supermarket. I took us off track to the dinner table, but we'll go back to the supermarket. You mentioned some of the foods that you would cook. How often are you shopping and how are you shopping?
Okay, so I'm shopping once every 5 weeks at a supermarket.
What? What do you mean? No. Come on, what do you mean?
Once every 5 weeks now. It used to be once every 4 weeks. Now it's once every 5 weeks.
I'm there 4 times a week. What am I doing? Is that what I'm doing?
That's where the money's adding up. That's where it's all adding up, is those extra trips to the shops.
One supermarket shop.
Every 5 weeks.
Okay. Where are you getting fresh fruit and vegetables in between? Are you topping up or are you using frozen?
No. We're going to the little fruit and veg guy down the road. He's not little. He's like my friend. We're going to the local fruit and veg. I buy my milk. I think milk is the biggest killer of finances. I know that sounds like the weirdest thing, but everybody's running out of milk. And what do? They go to the shops to buy milk. And when they go to the shops to buy the milk, they are buying the 42 extra items.
You know, you're right.
So what I do is I do buy fresh milk once a week when I go on my way to go, but I don't buy it at a supermarket because supermarkets make you walk through a million aisles to get to milk. And in that process, they make you spend your money.
They're very clever, aren't they?
They're very clever. They are like, I call them like, they've got university degrees in supermarket marketing, like, they are so clever. I am the guru of not spending. I have my blinkers on and I still buy too much at the supermarket if I go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I do. And I sort of feel a small amount of relief that, you know.
Even I do it.
You have plans and you have systems. If I were to ask you to tell me realistically how much you spend a week on feeding your family of four, what's the honest figure?
Look, I went out, the last shop I did, which was 2 weeks ago because I'm writing the next book now, I spent $275 or $79, and that included 6 bottles of wine, some moisturiser for myself, random items that I was throwing in because I was at the supermarket.
You have beautiful skin, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so whatever you're doing, it's working. All right, so wine, moisturiser.
$227 or $230 of that is the family food.
For
four people. It's actually for four adults, my book. So we have leftovers because I've got a six-year-old and a 12-year-old.
And that will span how long?
So 5 weeks.
All right. So if I were, say, to you, including the fresh food and the milk and so on, the in-between, how much do you feed your family for per week? Like, what do you think is realistic?
It's $40 a week.
What?
And that's including everything. It's actually, like, well, $227 for 5 weeks. So it's around $40 a week, sort of with all the with your salads and your top ups. The top ups are actually included in the price.
My mind's actually quite blown. I can't understand how this is actually possible.
No one can, and no one believes me.
Which is why you're writing. a book. How did it make you feel when sort of news articles appeared after your book was released saying that's impossible? You know,
so many trolls. So many people are like, it's impossible. I've got three teenage sons. There is no way possible.
Run me through a day then. So I've got a family of three children and a very hungry husband and a hungry dog. Suggest for me the three meals that might keep me within this this sort of range that you've suggested.
Yeah. So look, let's imagine the freezer, and we've got the four meals for the week in it. We've got a mince meal. Mm-hmm. We've got a chicken meal, so they're not like skimpy meals either. We've got a fish, but if you don't like fish, you can substitute. We've got a vegetarian night, and we've got the cook fresh nights. Friday night for your family would be takeaway night. Instead of buying $35 worth of fish and chips, which we're all aware is quite pricey now, in my area it is anyway.
Yeah, we're 50, area, 55 in the north, you know, well, with that one extra, so and the dim sim.
Exactly. So the fish and chip night for the family is not a cheap night. No. Like, so what we're doing is we're doing the takeaway at home. We're making the pizzas, freezing the pizzas. And they're nice, happy, healthy pizzas that you know what went in them.
Okay, so that's dinner. Breakfast, what am I feeding my
so
family?
Breakfast is cereal, porridge, typical Aussie food, baked beans on toast. Mm-hmm. We're having muffins for snacks, like for the kids going to school. We're putting frozen muffins in the little lunch boxes.
Lunch?
Our lunch is ham and cheese sandwiches. It's literally just the typical Aussie food that most Aussies cook.
There's a lot of social justice issues involved with feeding ourselves well and eating well. Mm. This is particularly pronounced in America, where there are coupon systems, where the cheapest things to buy are often the least healthy things to buy in bulk. For example, you know, foods like hamburgers or foods that are low in nutrition. So I think the trick with frugality is, how do we be frugal and bring in a lot of good nutrition as well? Mm-hmm. What role do beans play in this scenario? Beans. Good old dried beans and lentils. Is that part of your staples as well?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I pack out meals. Look, bulk, I say pack out, but what I mean is bulk up meals with. So say you buy 500 grams of pork mince. Mm-hmm. I'll take a zucchini and a carrot and some mushroom. Shred it all up in the food processor.
The
old hidden veggies trick, because my kids are the fussiest kids in the world. So we put a lot of our veggies into the meat, and then we have the veggies on the side. So that's why my second book's called Veg Extras, because it's actually there's veggies in the meat and on the side of whatever we're having. So it's nutritious food. And I've done all this research in the last 2 months on the fresh versus frozen debate. And there's actually so much debate about frozen food, because it's snap frozen, keeps the nutrition in.
And they say that keeps the pesticides lower for a lot of it too.
And there's the bacterial load in fresh broccoli is 70% more than fresh food. There you go. There's a fact that probably no one ever knew.
Fenina Peterson's our guest here on Tie Day Tuesday, where we talk about living more frugally, saving our money for things that we actually like without undercutting, you know, the experience and enjoyment of life. For you, Fenina, you're an expert on this now. You've mentioned you're writing another book. This is your third book that you're currently writing right now?
Yes, I'm trying to bring them out once a month.
Wow!
Life keeps getting in the way.
Once a month, all right.
Well,
there's much more information about you and your fancy ways on your website. Do you want to mention it again?
Yes, it's savingsroom.com.au. There's a jingle, but I won't sing it.
Go on.
No.
Savings room, come daddy. Put on your big pants before you go there, ladies and gentlemen, because you'll be overwhelmed by the amount of information that's there. Tanita, before I let you go, what do you do with all your spare money now? You know, we opened with you 50K in debt with your husband. You're now where? Where are things at?
We've pumped every living cent into a renovation for the last 5 years.
Woo.
So in February this year, without going through the whole story, yeah, we're going to be mortgage free.
My God, how old are you, woman?
46.
That's wonderful. What a great feeling that must be.
It's good. It's a good ending to a lot of work.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, it's worth it. And I think the biggest thing I've got out of it is having our kids see us be resourceful, you know? I think it's good to teach that to your kids. Yeah. Is resourcefulness. So I think that's one of my major happy, and also seeing other people get the benefit from what I've done. So, you know, it makes me so warm and fuzzy. So, it's a good feeling.
Fernanda Peterson, congratulations on all of your work, and thank you for coming into Afternoons. Much appreciated.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much.